Coming up, password hacking and how it forces big tech companies to act big and act fast.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello and welcome to the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing from the newsroom in New York. I'm Tanya Bustos. So we've all seen the headlines the past few months. Hackers have hacked Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Twitter, Jack Dorsey got hacked. It made us all feel very vulnerable and perhaps allowed us to second guess how secure we truly are when we do use Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all of the sites that have become vulnerable to hackers as of late. While tech giant companies are equally concerned, working behind the scenes to counterattack this, and joining us with the very latest is Wall Street Journal reporter Robert McMillan, based in San Francisco, joining us on the line right now. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Tanya.
So there's been this prevalent concern. You have the CEOs themselves of Facebook, of Twitter being hacked, and it's really ignited some serious concern. So first off, what set the stage for this to happen? Was it as simple as not being diligent enough with secure passwords?
Well, I mean, this kind of thing has been going on for a long time.
Right.
It sort of has come into the forefront because there have been these big database dumps, the LinkedIn, the MySpace databases. We're talking about 500 million usernames and passwords were suddenly made available to virtually anyone. And worse than that, they were also then put online on this website that allows anyone in the world to do a search for a username. You could search for Mark Zuckerberg's email address, and then you would see what passwords were associated with it at which websites. So you could maybe learn his old LinkedIn password from 2012. Now, this becomes a problem because some people reuse their passwords. Sort of an unspoken and very large problem for the big web companies that they all know that we are being asked to keep track of too many passwords. I have lost count of how many passwords I'm maintaining after I hit 100, you know, and it's just a really common thing that any service you want on you want to use on the web will just ask you to create a username or a password. So we're doing this hundreds of times a year, some people, and people get tired of keeping track of it, so they reuse the same password for sites that they don't think will matter very much.
Right.
And what we've been learning is sometimes those sites that don't seem to matter very much end up mattering more than we anticipate, and so that's one element of it. Now, the other element is just all these databases being public. What we're seeing, and I've spoken with some of the hackers that are doing this, is that people are looking up, they'll look at the LinkedIn database, they'll take all the email addresses and passwords from that database, and then there's software that they're writing that will then query Apple or Amazon.com or maybe even Dow Jones, and see if any of those email addresses and passwords work on those sites.
Yeah.
What was on the surface a problem for LinkedIn or for MySpace becomes a problem for anybody in the world who is using email-based usernames and passwords.
Wow. So, now we see how we got to where we are right now. So as such, what else can security teams do behind the scenes to counteract this?
Well, one of the things they're doing is they're watching the black market for these databases.
Mm-hmm.
They're seeing what comes up there. They're seeing sometimes, they're forcing password resets. If they see your username and password out there, then they're very likely to send you an email and say, look, you're not going to be able to log in until you create a new password. And then sometimes, we've talked to some companies that look and if they see, it might not be an exact match, but there might be some, you might be using a password that appears in one of these databases, and they might sort of, kind of put you in a mode where if you try to suddenly log in from an unexpected place like Russia, they might ask you for a second piece of information.
Mm-hmm. What can we do? What can we do to be proactive about this and to make sure we're on the ball and not doing something that could very well lead us vulnerable?
I mean, I wouldn't even recommend, some people are saying never reuse passwords. I think that it's actually okay to reuse passwords for sites you really don't care about at all.
Mm-hmm.
But just be careful with that because if I'm logging into some obscure Midwestern newspaper site that's asking me to have a password. I really don't care if that gets compromised.
No, like, a lot of really people can relate, yeah.
But for anything you remotely care about, you can't reuse your passwords. And then the other thing, the other really important thing is, if there's a site that you care about, especially your banking site or your email site, you've got to have a second factor of authentication, and usually that's your phone. So almost every important email, banking, social media site will give you the option of creating a username and password, and then if you try to log in from a different machine, it will send you a text message with a code, and you enter that code to then log in, say, you know, from an unknown computer. Now, so that you got to do that. Now, of course, the hackers are finding ways of even messing with that system. So there, we've had reports of these, you know, ways of getting around the second factor of authentication. But if you don't have that, you're going to be in trouble. So
really important. Yeah, really important information. Bob McMillan, thank you as always for joining the podcast.
My pleasure, Tanya.
Once again, we've been speaking to Robert McMillan. He is based in San Francisco, covering tech for The Wall Street Journal. That'll do it for this edition of the Tech News Briefing. For The Wall Street Journal, I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.
For more podcasts, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts. Become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now look for us on the Google Play Music app on Android devices.